starts with the music, though.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. And now, two guys who like to Twitter in the nude, Jim Schmiedeberg and Joe Fortunato.
How does she know we Twitter in the nude?
Because we show her the pictures.
Oh my God, I got to stop sending out those twit pics. Good evening, everyone. Blue Shirt Banter Radio live on the air on Blog Talk Radio. It is August 12th, 2009, and that only means one thing, Joe. We are 1 month away from training camp. 1 month from today. Our New York Rangers will report to the MSG Training Center, take their physicals, and hockey season will begin. Thank God. So, how are you this evening, Joe?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Good. Frozy, don't believe everything you hear, pal. That promo girl, she doesn't always know what she's talking about.
Actually, in the nude right now.
Oh, hey now. Before we start the show, Let's welcome everyone who has signed up for BlueShirtBanner.com this week. We've had another influx of new members. We want to welcome you. You guys are certainly we appreciate every one of you. You guys are doing a great job, and we also want to welcome you if you are listening to our show for the first time. We are one of the only weekly radio shows devoted entirely to the New York Rangers, although tonight we're not completely devoted to the Rangers. We'll be talking a little bit about some other NHL news that's gone on during the offseason. We're going to be joined a little later on by Nick. He is from the Hockey Plumber website. Nick does a great job with the NHL, and we're going to go over some things with him. And then we just want to, I don't want to forget at the end of the show, next week we're going to be joined by Stephanie Bagley. She is a writer for ESPN Magazine. She's a huge Ranger fan. She's done articles on Henrik Lundqvist and Chris Higgins, and she's going to join us next week to talk about the Rangers and about whatever else is on her mind. So hopefully you guys will join us for that. So now, before we get too far into this, we might as well first. Actually, we have today on today. I wanted to mention this at the top of the show. Today, on this date in Ranger history, in 1974. Brad Park was named captain of the New York Rangers. I just saw that a couple of minutes ago on NHL Network. It came across the bottom of the screen, so I wanted to mention that. Brad Park, former defenseman for the Rangers, and he was in the Esposito trade to the Bruins, and he went on to a great career with the Bruins as well, and then I think he finished up his career with Detroit, and I believe he coached the Red Wings for a while as well. So on this day in 1974, he was named captain of the New York Rangers.
He's also probably the best candidate for why isn't my number retired. Out of all the Rangers that I've ever played, I think his is probably has one of the most legit cases.
Well, he also shared his number with another pretty popular Ranger that came right after him.
Yes, he did. But they retired Graves and Bathgate. Well, whatever.
Now, a couple weeks ago, we had a discussion about, we talked about Brandon Dubinsky. He's probably the one of the biggest hot topics right now with Ranger fans. Everybody wants to know why he's not signed. And a couple of weeks ago, I said that if he wasn't signed in a few weeks, that maybe then it would be time to panic, but I wasn't worried yet. Well, I think as we get closer and closer to training camp, Ranger fans are starting to get a little more worried. And so here we are with a month to go to training camp. And, yep. Ranger fans are pushing the panic button. I don't know why that took a minute to play. I'll have to talk to our producer about that. But I honestly, Joe, I'm still not worried about Dubinsky. I am sure that on September 12th, he will be standing there in his boxer shorts, turning to the left and coughing with Sean Avery and the rest of the Rangers. What do you think?
I agree. I think that he'll definitely be signed eventually, but I have to be completely honest. The longer this goes on, the longer I'm thinking that either they've hit a problem, they've hit a speed bump, or he legitimately, I suppose, could be being dangled for a trade. But like you said, I'm not worried right now. But, you know, I'll give you another deadline. If in another 2 weeks Dubinsky's still not signed, I think there's a legitimate problem. But, you
all
know,
right.
I mean...
All right, so to put this in, so for the sci-fi fans out there, if we were on the USS Enterprise on Star Trek, what you're saying, Joe, is that right now on Dubinsky we're at yellow alert, and in 2 weeks we'll go to red alert. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a problem with it now, but you still have to wonder why he's not signed.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know, you know, and the longer it goes, the more speculation we get. It, you know, people are worried that the Rangers are trying to trade him or that there's a problem. And honestly, other than internet scuttlebutt, we've heard none of that. We haven't heard that there's any problems. There's really been no buzz that the Rangers are trying to make a trade with Dubinsky, other than if you read a few of the hockey blogs that just kind of make it through the day by making stuff up. And I think everybody knows who I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention any names, but, let's just say it rhymes with Mocky Does, and I'll leave it at that. But I'm still not worried about Dubinsky. I'm still not worried. We'll wait another 2 weeks on that. And let's talk about one other thing real quick. I see them talking about it in the chat room. Francis Bouillon. I don't even know if I'm saying his name correctly. His name first came up on Monday that he was on the verge of being signed by the Rangers. And then there was nothing confirmed. And then it went away for a day, and now the rumors are heating up again. And regardless of what you're hearing, nothing is confirmed.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing's even being rumored right now.
There's just a few internet blogs that are saying that he signed, and it was attributed to Team 990, which is the Montreal version of WFAN, basically. It's not on their website. At least it wasn't as of 20 minutes ago. It's not confirmed. I have read that maybe they're interested in him, but he's not signed. He's not a Ranger as of yet. So just we'll hang in there on that. I did find something interesting on him today. This was another French-Canadian website that I was able to do one of those bastardized translations on. And it said that Bouillon had an injury to his abdomen and his groin, and I guess he expected to be out for the playoffs, and then Bob Gainey asked him to come back for the April 18th game against the Bruins, and Bouillon really didn't feel like he was ready to go, but he took four shifts, and he re-aggravated the injury. And he thinks that, according to this article, if I understood it right and if the translation came out right, he thinks that that's why it's taken so long for him to latch on with another team, is because maybe there's some concern over the injuries that he's had. But as of right now, he's not a Ranger. You know, I guess that could change at any time. I don't see him as being anything but depth. He's 35 years old. He's just going to be a guy that, you know, kind of like what we've discussed, Joe, a cheap sixth or seventh defenseman You know, he probably comes at about $1.5 million. And I think he'll just be a depth guy. He's small. What is he, 5'8"?
He's 5'8", and he's like 200 pounds. But everyone says he plays like he's a Dano Chara size. But, I mean, I don't know. Again, if the ring, you know, we've talked about how many defensemen they have again and again and again. I'd have to say that, you know, if they sign Bouillon to a one-year, you know, $1 million deal, fine. But I still think I'd rather give, you know, Sanguinetti or Heikkinen maybe, or Potter or Sawyer a chance to make the team. Otherwise, you know, you never know, but I don't see it. I don't see where it would come in. I think they should keep the cap space, you know, maybe for the trade deadline or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, you know, either way, what you're saying is true. I kind of felt, you know, and I've said this a few times, that I thought they would probably bring in some kind of cheap veteran defenseman. I used Jason Strudwick as an example, although certainly, you know, I thought
he's not happy with that.
Yeah, really. But that he's the type of guy I was thinking of, just a guy that could play sixth or seventh defense and, you know, wouldn't come at a high price. So we'll see. He could be a Ranger in the coming days. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But the next subject, the other hot topic this week was Nick Sheridev.
Yes,
and,
sir.
You know, there were rumors that went around yesterday that he was going to sign with the KHL and that he had signed, and then all of a sudden he hadn't signed. So I don't know, you know, we have no further information on that. So I don't know, Joe. Doesn't seem like the NHL offers are piling up for him, so he may have to go the KHL route.
Well, I think that one of the things that's going on with Sheridev is that he, you know, the Rangers gave up quite a bit to get him, and when the Rangers gave up, you know, Tootin, and obviously Backman was nothing, but when they gave up Tootin, I think that the opinion from the rest of the league was, obviously, the Rangers are really intent on getting Sheridev. They want to score. They think there's a lot to him. You know, they think they can change him because he certainly has had a reputation for the type of player that he is, an indecisive player, a player who's inconsistent, but, you know, sometimes gives a damn and other times doesn't. And when the Rangers let him go the way they did for a relatively reasonable one-year, you know, $3.9 million deal, I think it made other teams wary, especially because, you know, the New York Rangers, we love our star power. We love our firepower, and, you know, if we're just going to give up on Sheridev so quickly, then why would we take a chance on him? And obviously on the open market, he's going to ask for at least $3.9 million because he got that in arbitration, and some teams might not think that he's worth it. So, I mean, he'd be much better off in Russia anyway because he speaks Russian, obviously. He, you know, he's more accustomed to their style of play, I guess you could say, and he basically plays a shorter season. He can sit back and do what he wants, and he can be a superstar on the KHL.
Probably true. He probably would be a pretty big superstar over there, but I don't know. And then the rumors that Columbus wanted him back, I found kind of curious, and I wonder if that's just because they kind of knew all along that Nick Sheridev is what he is, and, you know, they're willing to live with that. You know, I don't know. If they thought he was going to blossom into more, then why would you trade him in the first place? Does that make sense?
Maybe they had a conspiracy with him that he would, you know, have no points in the playoffs and then go to arbitration,
right,
not get signed, and come back. But, you know, someone said in the chat room, and who was it? It was Quack Lata 17. He says that if Sheridev goes back to Columbus, they're going to make out golden because they get Tootin for nothing then, and they keep Sheridev. So,
right.
But you have to think about it. Who is in league for a guy like Nick Sheridev? What kind of coach wants to deal with his type of player? I mean, look, I got to be completely honest with you. I have been waving the Sheridev flag from the beginning, and I will continue to wave the Sheridev flag, and I'm begging that he goes to the KHL because I don't want to see him come back and hurt the Rangers, but I mean, he's a solid enough player, but some teams just don't have the cap space. And don't forget that on the open market, Sheridev is going to be looking for a lot more than a one-year deal. He's probably going to be looking for a four-year, $16 million deal. And if teams aren't willing to get that, I guarantee you a KHL team will give him that.
Oh, absolutely. With they've been throwing around a lot of money all over the place. I have no doubt that they'd give him what he was asking for. All right. I don't know about you, but I've had enough Nick Zverev. The other story that's kind of made news around the NHL and on our site this week we've been talking about was Theo Fleury, former Ranger, looking to make a comeback at the age of 41. We had a couple of stories about it over the weekend and debated a little bit on the site. First thing with Fleury is he would have to get reinstated by the NHL. He's still under serving a suspension. So that would be his first step. And then somebody's going to have to give him a tryout and see how that goes. I don't know. I haven't heard any names that are interested, any teams that might be interested in him. I don't know if I'd want to see him. I don't even know if I want to see him back in the league, much less on the Rangers. I don't know if you read James Myrtle on From the Rink. He had an interesting article about Fleury that he's probably got some pretty serious money troubles that may be behind him trying to come back into the NHL. He went through a pretty costly divorce and a lot of bad investments that left him pretty, I don't want to say destitute, but I guess hurting for cash. So that's probably a big reason behind the comeback. But I hope it goes well for him. I just don't know if I want to see him anywhere near the Rangers, that's for sure.
Well, I don't know. I think that if Fleury ended up signing with the Rangers, there would be friggin' riots outside the Garden. For me, I truly hope that this works out for him. He's been sober for 6 years. Everyone's saying that Fleury's trying to come back, you know, whether it's money problems or love for the game. You know, Fleury himself cited Claude Lemieux coming back. I mean, I hope he does it for him. Again, you have to think about what kind of a team wants a 41-year-old, very small guy who hasn't even played in the new NHL yet. I mean, he stopped before the lockout. So, you know, and he's been off the ice for 6 years. I don't see who would want him. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to give him, you know, a training camp. You know, you could take a peek at him. You could see what he brings to the table. You could see how he looks. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to give him a look, but I truly don't see him succeeding in the NHL. Not yet.
Well, if not yet, then when?
Yeah, not yet, and then never.
When he's 46? the call-in number, because I forgot to give it out, is 646-478-4692. We want to take a lot of calls from you guys tonight. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about Brad Park being made captain 35 years ago? That's fine. You want to talk about the 1979 Cup run? You want to talk about 1994? You want to talk about what's going on now? Whatever you guys want to talk about, we'll take calls. We're going to have Nick from Hockey Plumber on in about 15 minutes. So why don't we take a phone call here? I think this is going to be Bob from Miami. Is that you, Bob?
Yes, it is. Good to speak to you guys.
Hi, Bob.
How are you,
Welcome
Bob?
Back to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How are you tonight?
Terrific.
Good.
You know, I've been a fan for the Rangers since I was a kid. It's a long time ago. It's 50 years, and I've always been of the philosophy, let's play the kids and see what we got, even when we didn't have kids that could play in the NHL, which is a whole other story. And it even looked like Sather was going to go towards young guys, not signing old guys, with, you know, the one exception being Kotelok, which was really for Drury to make him happy and maybe help the power play, which is okay because Drury has really been a disappointment and maybe this guy would help him. But now, and you hear, because he hasn't signed the old guys, all the websites talking, let's sign this guy, that guy, this 34-year-old guy, this 35-year-old guy. Don't understand the fans where we're not going to win the Cup this year, unfortunately, but we're building a team with a lot of young kids. And you got to, you know, we should all be willing to take that and let them learn on a curve. And, you know, where are we going with this back again with the old guys if they sign this guy from Montreal, like you said, 34, 35 years old, eat up more cap space for $1.5 million or whatever he's going to get. We finally have money available that we could make a mid-season deal, maybe if we actually make that big of a run. And it looked like that, you know, Sather was really having one of his best off-seasons ever, and it looked like we were going someplace. Now we're going back the other way.
Well, I don't really see this if they sign this guy. I don't really see it as a step backwards. I think the Rangers are still more than willing to give the kids chance to play on defense, but it's always nice to have that veteran defenseman there in case something goes wrong. It's nice to have if let's say for argument's sake, Sanguinetti and Corey Potter are your third line defensemen, just like I said, just the first two names that came to mind, and one of them falters or something goes wrong. It's nice to know that you've got a guy that's been in the NHL for 10 years that can step in, and you might not have to replace him and take a chance on another kid who they've already determined in training camp wasn't quite ready for the NHL. So I really don't have a problem with it. I thought all along they'd bring in someone as a veteran defenseman. This guy was, I have to admit, this guy never even crossed my mind. So, but I don't have a big problem with it. But, Bob, let me ask you a question. Right. You say you've been a Ranger fan for 50 years, right?
Right.
This, let's go back, 20, 30 years. Were the Rangers always so resistant to try the younger players? Were they, is it just something that you see as a change in philosophy over the last, 15, 20 years? I mean, during the 80s when Herb Brooks was the coach and Craig Patrick, there were a lot of young players on those teams. Well, what about, before that? Did you, were they always
They were always reluctant to play the young kids because, truthfully, years ago I go back when I remember when the original six and it was before expansion. And Montreal, and they had the rule that you could draft, protect your own area, 150 miles. Now, if you were in Montreal and Toronto and even Chicago, you could get players. The Rangers were in New York, and how many hockey players in the 50s were coming out of New York? Nobody.
Right, right.
So if they got a player, it was an exception rather than really what Montreal, which was always stacked, and Toronto was always there, and Chicago. And even in New England, guys played hockey, so even every so often Boston got players. But we never got players. We always seemed to be out of touch, and that was the other point that I was going to bring up. You seem to have some of the same fan of some of the same teams I am, and you look at a team like the Mets, and you look at a team like the Giants, and you look at, the Devils, who have a great GM and a great team with no fan base. And you look at the Islanders, if you consider them, a real franchise, which is semi-debatable, they had their one run, but they have nothing and nobody, and Wang may be, even worse. So you turn around and say now what you're saying was, it's the mantra of the Rangers, and it's the thing that kills New York and always has, is that everybody says the New York fan wants to win this moment, and the only thing we can do is we got to win this moment. Isaiah Thomas, who probably knew, if you're a basketball fan, new talent, didn't understand how to play or put a team together, and the Knicks have been disgraceful for so many years that they make the Islanders look good, which is almost an impossibility. Now, I was going to say to you, who's the worst ownership currently in the metropolitan area? Is it the Dolans? Is it, or is it, the Wilpons from the Mets? They all spend money, and they don't know how to spend it. And I think that part of the problem that we have is what happens to a guy like Sather, who, whether he fell into it, and everybody supposedly respect him, and I remember when he became the GM, I was thrilled. We finally got a guy that really knew hockey and always complained about that he was out in Edmonton and he had to trade off all the stars because they couldn't pay him from a small market team. And they come to New York, and there is no flow of young players come in. And when I look at one of the websites, and I wasn't really aware of it, one of the best is, Jess with, the young players. And he said, the thing that's true is that Rennie never should have been a coach, but we never had a goalie coach. Rennie brought in, our goalie coach.
Benoit Allaire?
Yeah. We never had a right. Remember the kid that got hurt, I can't remember his name, that Durham, that number one pick that played and then got his arm hurt. It was never
Dan Blackburn, you're talking about?
Blackburn, right.
Yeah.
He never had a goalie coach. I mean, right. He was living with, you know, Davidson, and Davidson was supposed to teach him. It was unbelievable going on. And then, you know, Rubenstein said that, or whatever his name is, Jess, that when the prospect website, that when Rennie came in, and he said this on Mouth's show, that he instituted, brought in Gordy Clark, he brought in scouts. There were no full-time scouts for the Rangers. At best, they had 3 part-time scouts, which is unbelievable. So the thing is that what is wrong with most teams in New York, and like I said, a team that understands how to make a team is the Giants. I know that you're a big, Jim, you're a big football fan of the Giants like I am.
Oh, and yeah.
I look at that team, and you look at how few trades they make because the core of the team is all guys they draft. And
right.
They can
Absolutely.
Add 1 or 2 pieces.
But football is a little different with hockey when you're building a team.
But look at Detroit. Look at Detroit. No, I mean, Detroit.
Detroit's a good example. Detroit's a good example.
You're going to talk hockey. Detroit said, wow, we're going to finish high. We can't get the high draft picks. Let's get guys from Europe. And they could add a 1 or 2 players, you know, that just filled in the mix. The Rangers had no plan, no concept, and they've never had. You guys have been fans for – when do you remember, except for the run, when Neil Smith put it all together and Keenan, who a lot of people love, lost the team in the end, and I always thought that Messier was the guy. That's why he was so great for us, because he won us the cup when Keenan gave up. I'll never forget the game when he kept putting Kovalov out in the ice, and because his punishment, he made Kovalov stay in the ice, and Kovalov had a ball.
Right, Kovalov thought he was being rewarded.
Yeah, never understood it. He never got it, and Keenan never got it. And the guy that everyone anointed as, you know, it was Messier, which is why Messier was one of the few guys that actually deserved the credit that he gets, because it was him that won us the cup. He was the guy that held that locker room together. Now, for the first time, and I can't remember when, there's at least 6 guys out there that are really considered can't-miss prospects that the Rangers have, and a whole bunch of other guys that may or may not make it. I don't remember
right.
when the Rangers, you can talk about that there are young guys on the team that Lundqvist fell in their lap. Lundqvist was a 6th round or worse European draft pick that just showed up. And when the other guy got hurt, well, who's this guy? Well, let's give him a shot because they had nothing else. And he surprised them. They didn't know. It was because the European scout recommended him. And then when you look at Stahl, how we got Stahl, that was a miracle. But those are our 2 homegrown players, and the next guys on that next level, like Callahan and Dubinsky and Giroldi, these guys, and you know the next ones coming like Asimov and all the others, this is the core. What any sport that you look at, and you guys have been around, you've followed the Rangers, and when have we had a young homegrown core?
I think that right now there's a real young, you know, young core. And, you know, you were saying before that you want to talk about teams that draft well. You know, you can look at the Detroit Red Wings. They are, for whatever reason, every single prospect they touch turns to gold. For whatever reason, they have all, and like you said, you know, you have to think about it. European scouts aren't exactly, you know, the thing for NHL teams. They cost a lot of money, they take a lot of time, and you have to be patient. The Rangers have a very good European scout. You know, teams like Detroit is a very good European scout. You know, then you get the guys like the Lundqvists and, you know, the Sharapanovs and stuff like that. Unfortunately, some teams don't have this, and I agree with you that, you know, in order to make, you know, the team is reluctant, they've been reluctant, they have a young team now, and they're working with keeping this core group of players. And, you know, you said that you know, they signed Kovalik and you don't want to sign Bouillon because he's another old player. The Rangers only have 3 players that are over 30, Kovalik, Redden, and Drury. Everyone else is below 30 years old. So I think that they've, you know, they've turned the corner. Obviously, Glenn Sather has realized his mistakes and is now trying to repent for them.
In fairness, though, Joe, just remember one thing. If Naslund hadn't retired, you know,
mm-hmm.
he'd still be there. You know, Naslund did the Rangers a huge favor. in overall age and salary cap. Hey, Bob, we're going to move on. We got a couple other things to talk about before we get Nick on. I appreciate you calling in, and please give us a call again next week, okay?
Love you guys. Thank you so much. You make, like I told you last time, you make down here feel like I'm back home.
Thanks, Bob.
Welcome, Bob.
Post the show in the blog. You guys are terrific. Keep it up. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob from Miami. And I just, I'm kind of keeping an eye on the chat here as we go along. Somebody just asked, I think Funijo, I think is his name. I don't think you were with us last week. I'll tell a real quick story. You asked about JD being our GM. I told this story last week on the show. John Davidson was a whisker away from becoming the Rangers GM. After the Rangers won the Cup in 1994, and the relationship between Mike Keenan and Neil Smith had completely deteriorated, and it was obvious that they were not going to be able to work together anymore beyond the 1995 season and beyond. And Bob Gutkowski, who at the time was the president of Madison Square Garden, he had gotten to the point where he was fed up with both of them, because he was hearing from Neil Smith all the time complaining about Keenan, and he was hearing from Keenan all the time complaining about Neil Smith, and he had enough. And one of the scenarios that he had come up with was he was going to fire Smith and Keenan and bring in John Davidson as GM, and the job was offered to John Davidson, and John Davidson turned it down because he didn't want to take he felt like he would be screwing Neil Smith. So that was why that's why JD never became our GM. So now we've got a new guest on with us here. I want to introduce everybody to Nick. Nick is from the website The Hockey Plumber. Nick does a great job covering the NHL on a bunch of different topics, and he had contacted me a while ago, and we've kind of been exchanging emails back and forth, and Nick does a great job. If you haven't seen his site, the link is right on Blue Shirt Banter. You can check him out. He's been all over the whole Coyotes situation and some of the other things that are going on in the NHL. So we want to welcome him in. And Nick, do we refer to you as Nick? Do we call you the plumber? Do we call you Nick the plumber? Plumber Nick, what do you prefer?
No, whatever you prefer, Jim. I'm glad to be here. Great show.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Say hello to Joe, my co-host, Joe Fortunato.
How are you, Nick?
Hey, Joe.
So, Nick, thanks for coming on with us tonight. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about a couple of different things. I wanted to ask you up front before we got into some other things. In your opinion, what do you think the best move of the offseason in the NHL so far has been?
Oh, that's a good one. That's kind of tough to say to narrow it down to just one move, but I've liked what a number of different teams have done. I think it's easier to point the finger at the teams that I think have botched it up so far this off season.
That was my follow-up question. What's the worst move? So are you saying that the worst move is easier to figure out than the best move?
Yeah, I think so, because I think Montreal was doomed from the start, and this off season, and I'm sure as well as a lot of Rangers fans know, they were glad to see Scott Gomez and his monstrous contract go. And now Montreal now does a complete team overhaul, which we all knew was going to happen with as many unrestricted free agents as they had on the docket before anything even got started. But then the guys who they picked up and the salary that they took on and the numbers that they put out, paying $5 million to Brian Gionta and adding, of course, Gomez, and paying a good amount for Camilleri and a number of different moves that they've made, and they just keep taking on these huge price guys who don't have a lot of production value to match up to the numbers that they're paying. So I think poor Montreal fans are in due for a long and sad season this year.
You know, with the moves Montreal made, I keep wondering if they're lowering the door jams at the Bell Center. They keep getting all these guys that are, you know, 5'7 and 5'8, 5'9. I was wondering if there's maybe, you know, going to be smaller doorways or something at the Bell Center.
Well, Theo Fleury wants to make a comeback, so.
See, there you go. He fit right in. The Canadians could be the new Lollipop Guild up there.
I'm looking at NHLnumbers.com right now because I remember we've touched this before, but we've never really, like, really gotten into it. And for the next – let's start with for the next 3 years. For the next 3 years, they have Markov at 5.7, Hamerlick at 5.5, Gomez at 7.3, Camilleri at 6, and Gionta at 5. So that right there is like, 17, 18. That's almost $28 million, a little bit over $28 million in five players for the next 3 years. And then they have
got cap problems.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have Gomez, Camilleri, and Gionta for $17 million for the next 5 years. So, I mean, you know, everyone says that, I mean, they have all these free agents coming up. I mean, Sergei Costisin, Latan Dress, Maxime Leterrier, anyone else of note, Carey Price, you know, Yaroslav Halak. It's not like they don't have anyone. So they obviously have their problems, but, you know, everyone hops on the Rangers, oh, they spend so much money. Montreal went through an overhaul, and they are such a small team now, especially with Boston being so big, and now Toronto being huge. You know, you'd think they'd want to be a little bit bigger, but I don't know.
Letting Komisarov go in all that mix too, that doesn't help the size or the toughness problem there.
That's for sure. Okay, so
built for the long run or the playoffs.
So as far as the you'll just generalize and say the Canadians have had the worst off season out of all the teams in the NHL. Is that fair to say?
I would. That's what my opinion. Yeah.
Okay.
Not liking it. All right. You listed all those numbers and names. I don't want any of them on my team. You know, let alone for $5 and $6 and $7.5 million.
Yeah. Really. Okay. So now, talking about the Coyotes situation, we touched on this a little bit last week. Right before our show ended last week was when the news broke that the court had agreed to let the Blackberry King enter an offer in for the Coyotes, and you've been covering this pretty well. So what is the current situation out there?
Well, the last bit that I've been reading up on is Celia has asked for a probe into the NHL and to why the Board of Governors, rejected him. And it seems that the whole time this has been a hype machine. And as the NHL made a statement to the bankruptcy court the other day in saying that, you know, they almost kind of view this entire process as a sham, kind of a cover-up for trying to force the NHL to accept, Mr. Blackberry into the league as an owner because he's been rebuffed and rejected so many times over. And their statement to the court was, you know, there is no side door, there's only a front door into the NHL as far as ownership goes, and they're not happy with it. Jerry Reinsdorf, on the other hand, as we found out from privileged documents that were supposed to be sealed that were somehow leaked out from Moise's attorneys, the current owner, if you want to call him that, of the Coyotes, that, you know, he had been in negotiation with the city of Glendale trying to work out different options with regards to the lease and in the Jobbing.com arena. And now we found out that he has reached an agreement with the Coyotes' biggest creditor. And even though they won't be paid in full, as it is with the Make It Seven Groups deal, it's an acceptable amount by the largest creditor. And also the NHL Board of Governors has already accepted Reinsdorf's bid. So it's looking more and more favorable for his group, and of course less and less favorable for the Make It Seven. But and of course the current owners want Paul Sibley's group to win the bid because he actually makes out financially. All the creditors initially liked their bid because they got paid the most money, but now it really seems to be swinging in favor of Reinsdorf's group's bid more and more so each and every day.
Yeah, there has been some serious venom spewed at the Blackberry King, as we like to refer to him on this show, towards owning a team, which I guess I understand because Gary Bettman, doesn't want to admit that Phoenix was a mistake, and he wants to keep them there. But there's just there really is a part of me that would much rather, Hamilton, a place that's already sold out season tickets for a team that doesn't even exist, to have a team rather than a team like, the Coyotes, who, as Jim has told many times, moved out to Glendale, somewhere where there really isn't much of a fan base. People have to drive at least 20 miles to get there. I'd rather see the team in, better hands. But, again, Bettman's going to do what he wants, and he's literally pulled out every stop I can think of to keep the Philly from getting the team. So, Jim, I don't know if you agree with me or if you disagree with me. What do you think?
Well, I agree. We talked about this a little bit last week. Nick, the other thing, the way I understand it is that with Basile's offer, doesn't he also pay off all of Moise's debt? Isn't that part of the agreement that he's going to pay off his debt?
Yeah, I understand the same thing, and or at least a good portion of it. I believe it's in excess of $100 million of what Moise is takes away from his group takes away from all of this as far as his $212 million bid to the bankruptcy court. So he makes out better and the creditors get paid, or at least the largest creditors do get paid in that bid. Reinsdorf was significantly lower with $150 million as far as his bid for the team. And the third group that's involved with it, I believe, is $135 or $140 million that they put in for the bid for the team. But, I know they had favored that, the tide's kind of shifting with regards to, because of Reinsdorf's now in with the creditors that are owed, and they've come to supposedly some sort of agreement to where they'll get an acceptable amount of money paid back to them, at least initially. And, we don't know the details, but whether they get paid in full over a period of time. But now, to me, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, other people have mentioned before, the real loser in all of this, no matter which way it goes, is the city of Glendale. And that, if the team stays and functions as it is, or as the NHL would hope that it does later down the line, Reinsdorf's deal with them is so incentive-laden, where he is compensated for keeping the team there. He's getting further concessions right off the bat from the city as far as the arena lease. And then if the team continues to lose money on 5 years down the road, that he's due a lump sum payment to cover all of his expenses in this from the city. So whether they stay, Glendale pays. If they leave and have their, an empty arena with no team to play in and, just a vacant venue, they lose out there as well. They've invested so much money and given concessions already in the past. So no matter what happens with it, they're taking it on the chin.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. They've spent a lot of money out there. I have a friend of mine that owns a pizza place in Glendale, and he gets some business too from Coyote traffic. So he's hoping they stay, and I keep telling him I don't think it's going to happen. But we had two suggestions in the chat room. Nick, I don't know if you know, but there's a chat room that's open the whole time we're on the air here, and the mouse suggests that the Coyotes move to Long Island after the Islanders leave and just become the Long Island Coyotes. And then we have City Hockey Fever says the Coyotes should not move and F Hamilton. So we're at both ends of the spectrum in our chat room. But anyway, yep. I don't want to bore everybody with all the financial problems of the city of Glendale for too long, but I find it fascinating because I lived out there for a while, and the Coyote, I spent a lot of time in at Coyotes games when they had a competitive team, and so it's I find it interesting. But one of the other topics, been a hot topic all Froze, I'm reading in the chat room, Froze, it's the best pizza I've ever had. And if you watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network, they're going to be on there this weekend. He's my best friend in the world. Their pizza is awesome. Because he just said in the chat room, how good could Glendale pizza be? So I had to answer him. Anyway, another topic of discussion that's been all over the place this summer has been Danny Heatley. You know, we thought up until Marion Gaborik signed with the Rangers, we thought Danny Heatley was on his way to New York once the Gomez trade was made. Then it didn't happen. Then he was going to Edmonton. Then it didn't happen. Then he was going again to Edmonton, and then it didn't happen. Then he was going to San Jose. That still hasn't happened. And as of right now, he's still an Ottawa Senator. So what are your thoughts on the Danny Heatley situation? Is he going to get traded? Where do you think he's going, or is he going to be with the Senators come opening night?
Well, you know, from all indications, it seems like more and more every day that he's going to have to come back to Ottawa. You know, everybody had looked at the July 1st deadline as being the big indicator because Ottawa was due that lump sum payment, the bonus payment of $4 million, to which under the CBA, once a payment is made by a team, it can't be transferred, you know, if he is traded. So if a situation where he was traded after that deadline, the Senators were still on the hook cap-wise and money-wise, no matter what happened with it. So everyone thought that it might be dead just because of that in the July 1 deadline. And then, of course, you know, the deal with Edmonton that was you know, kept alive for the longest time until the Oilers finally said, we're out for good. And, you know, the only other things that I'm seeing in the news circulating around that San Jose, which was supposedly on Heatley's list of teams that were acceptable in a trade, going back and forth. But financially, I don't see how San Jose could pull off anything. There was, you know, wild rumors regarding a third team possibly being involved and allowing them to dump enough salary in order to make money, make enough room for them to accommodate Heatley's big deal of what his cap hit is about $7.5 million a season. Right. And you know, the Sharks are so close. I believe the last time I checked, the Sharks were about $599,000 under the cap. Still didn't have a backup goaltender, you know, and had only I think five or six defensemen signed altogether and maybe nine forwards under contract at the major league club level. And so, you know, they need to clear space one way or the other just to sign enough bodies to field the team on a daily basis, let alone, you know, clearing enough room to add $7.5 million back into the payroll and then still add more bodies as well. So, you know, I didn't see how that could all come together, and really there's been no other talk and no other piece of where else he could possibly go. You know, I read a few pieces, too, that said, you know, Sather wasn't done trying to wheel and deal and make it happen and bring him to New York, which, you know, supposedly he wanted to do. But, you know, I just don't see how it can happen at this point, and I think the biggest prohibitor being his cap number.
For those of you that don't know, we're talking with Nick from the Hockey Plumber, just talking about the Danny Heatley situation. Yeah, I don't know where he can go at this point. I mean, he's become just about one of the most hated guys in the league. And, you know, every few days, a hockey website that just creates rumors, again, I don't want to mention their name, but it rhymes with Mocky Fuzz. Every couple of days, they dig up the Heatley's going to the Rangers rumor, And I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the Ottawa's already turned down the deal that the Rangers offered them, which is, you know, Roosevelt and I, you know, I don't even remember who the rest of the deal was. Callahan, was it, who was the, what was the deal they offered them, Joe? Was it Callahan and Roosevelt and the pick? Oh, I think we lost Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone just popped back in.
There you are.
I think that, you know, when it comes to Danny Heatley, who's going to want to trade for him at this point? I mean, the Oilers pulled out all the stops. Their brass met with him face-to-face to beg him to come to the team. You know, they tried ever so hard to get him there, and Danny Heatley flat-out said no. And, you know, I have never met a guy with a no-trade clause who demands a trade and then turns a trade down to, you know, a team like, you know, Edmonton, who obviously has a lot of history and such, but why would you give up, you know, this is blown up in Murray's face. Why would you give up top prospects for a guy who has demanded trades from both teams he's been on? And I got to be completely honest with you, Roosevelt and Jerden for Heatley must look really good right now, because as far as he's concerned, he has to bring Heatley back, and he's going to have a disgruntled player who doesn't want to be there, and now he's going to have fans rooting for him that don't want him to be there. So, I mean, I got to be completely honest with you, I don't see him going anywhere, because who's going to give something up for him?
Well, you know, that was what I had asked you when you lost your phone connection there for a second. I couldn't remember the deal the Rangers had offered. Was it Roosevelt and Callahan?
It was Roosevelt and Jerdev. And they said no. Murray wanted Callahan or Staal. And
right.
The Rangers cut it out at Callahan, because they didn't want to give up Callahan, and they refused to give up Dubinsky. And, you know, Murray called the deal an insult. He said that it was insulting that the Rangers wouldn't give up anything other than, you know, Jerdev and Roosevelt. And he said, if I don't get who I want for Heatley, I'm going to give him up. I'm not going to trade him anywhere. I'm going to keep him on the team, and he's going to play in Ottawa. And that, a lot of people said, this is going to backfire. This might not be good for you. Heatley might not go anywhere. And guess what? He didn't. And now he's sitting in Ottawa,
yeah.
And he's going to rot there.
And if he still wants to trade him, if he thought he was insulted by the first Ranger offer, he'd be really insulted by the one I'd make him, which would be like Valiquette and maybe Brian Boyle straight up, just to piss him off. You got to start the negotiations low at this point. But, okay. And then we had one other big story this week that everybody's talking about was the Patrick Kane arrest. He was arrested after him and his cousin beat up a cab driver in Buffalo, correct?
Yeah, for $1.20 or 20 cents. I don't know which.
Yeah, it depends on which story you hear. So, Nick, what are your thoughts on Patrick Kane? Is this I've heard some that this is being blown out of proportion. I hear there's more to this story that's being let on. What do you hear?
Well, I saw a TSN piece the other day where they spoke to the cab driver's attorney. And even he had said that, you know, he felt that the media had blown the entire case out of proportion, that it was an ugly disagreement, and that's pretty much all that they were going to say, and that he was confident that things would eventually be worked out. So whether, you know, the initial reports of the Kane and his cousin punched the guy in the face and took his money and all that other stuff, whether they're correct or not. You know, I think the important thing for Kane and particularly the Blackhawks and their fans is that, you know, he's obviously not mature enough to keep himself out of harm's way, his own way in this situation. So, you know, whether it was 20 cents or whether there was the punching and all that other stuff is kind of beside the point. It's just, you know, he can't put himself you know, as the face of the franchise in a situation like that. And so it's been fun, certainly, reading it. It's very comical, as a matter of fact, you know, when you think about it for the dollar amount that we're talking about, whether it's $1.20 or 20 cents in general. You know, of course, it'll make for good jokes for years to come,
yeah,
for opposing fans and arenas around the league. But, You know, it's just you can't put yourself in that kind of a situation, especially with the responsibility of the team that he holds.
And any hockey fan with a little Photoshop ability has had a field day this week with some of the pictures that you've seen. There's been a couple on our website, and they've been all over the net, just all different kinds of pictures poking fun at Patrick Kane. But
I saw the T-shirt.
Yeah,
somebody made up the other day. Patrick Kane Cab Company.
And then there was one where he's got like he's 50, supposed to be 50 Cent, but it's 20 Cent. You know, the rapper. That was pretty funny. But the one thing that I've read everywhere about him is that the money's definitely gone to his head, and of course he uttered the famous phrase that celebrities love to use. Don't you know who I am? And once that comes out in any kind of celebrity related story, it really just blows it up, because once a celebrity utters the phrase "Don't you know who I am," they're just asking for trouble, and apparently that's what he said, and that's the type of thing that'll haunt him for a while. But anyway, the one last thing that we want to talk about with you tonight, Nick, and again, we appreciate you coming on with us, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as we're enjoying having you. But we want to talk about the KHL and the NHL and what's going on between the two leagues. There's been a lot of players moving back and forth. We've had Fedorov and Zubov. We've seen them take contracts for the KHL. And then the guy from Detroit, was he? Hudler.
Yeah.
Who signed a deal with the KHL and then had it. I think it was they discovered that it was illegal or whatever, and now he's returning to Detroit. So, what's your take on the KHL? Is it a legitimate threat for star players in the NHL, or are they always just going to be taking the fringe players, guys that you know are either just on their way up and maybe think they're a little better than they are, guys like Nikolai Zverev and guys like who are at the end of their career trying to get one more big paycheck like Fedorov and Zubov, or are they going to pose a legitimate threat for the NHL in years to come? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if they do pose any sort of threat, it's going to have to be a long time from right now. Money-wise, things just don't seem to add up with the league in general. I know when they first had formed the KHL out of the Russian Super League, there was all kinds of whispers and rumor about them being financed by Russian mafia and all that other stuff. And as time kind of progresses on, you know, whether you want to be a conspiracy theorist or not, that kind of thing, that sort of thing seems to ring true, because when you look at the money that they throw out at certain players and even guys at the end of their rope, like Jagr a couple of years ago when they brought him to the league, they paid him an exorbitant amount of money to play for a couple of years. And compare that with the type of fan support that the teams get and the ticket prices that they charge, I don't see how they're going to be able to field these players for you know, too much longer, because even if you're being financed through illegal means, there's not too many criminals who want to lose money over the long haul. So, you know, giving these guys the big contracts, and you know, having 5,000-7,000 fans show up per game and paying a maximum ticket price of what is equivalent of about $13 US,
right.
You know, it doesn't seem to add all up for long term financial stability for the league. But you know, I did a piece on this the other day of where, you know, their kind of market was the guys that were kind of at the end of their NHL rope, you know, and the Fedorovs make sense. The Jagrs, the other players that, you know, the Zubovs that have been in the league for many, many, many years and don't have any hopes, especially in a salary cap era, of making big dollars towards the last couple of years that they're going to be able to hang on in the league. But, you know, the kind of this new thing is attacking these 20-somethings that are that are good players. They're solid players, but they're not stars. I don't see, a Malkin or Ovechkin being lured away to play in the KHL, because they'll always make it while they're in the prime of their career. They'll always make top dollar, and they'll have, you know, much more attention and media worldwide playing in the National Hockey League than they would with the KHL. So I can't see, whether it be financially or, you know, media and the appeal all around the world would be enough to want to play. I mean, I see for the guys who are Eastern European players, want to play closer to home, have a chance to be in familiar surroundings and that sort of thing, or come back to where it all started.
Right.
Type of sentiment, but I don't see how they can become a direct competitor for the top players.
Yeah, I'd be forced to agree with you. I think this is mostly for the, you know, like we said, the older players trying to cash in on that one last big paycheck that they're not going to get in the NHL. And it's good competitive hockey, but it's just never going to be on the level of the NHL.
Well, you know, I don't see how it can be, especially with the money that's involved in generating. You know, we've seen it time and time again when someone wants to challenge the NFL, and what happens? And, you know, of course, the NHL doesn't have the footprint and the power that the NFL does, but comparatively, they certainly. They are the standard from which everyone else is judged. So,
right.
I don't know how the KHL can pull it off.
And there's another challenger for the NFL coming up this fall. The United Football League, beginning play in four teams in October.
Could be featuring one Michael Vick.
Yeah, Michael Vick and former Giants coach Jim Fossil is going to be out in. Out in Vegas there, and today it was just announced the Orlando team will be called the Florida Tuskers, which may be the worst team name I've ever heard. We were laughing about it with some of the SB Nation bloggers. But
what
anyway,
is the Hamilton team supposed to be the Hamilton Legacy?
There's only four teams.
Vasily moved the team to Hamilton.
Oh.
It was supposed to be like the Hamilton Legacy, wasn't it, or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. You blindsided me there because we were talking football for a second.
I was just thinking about some team names.
Yeah, there were a couple of different names that were thrown out there, and I think that was one of them. But anyway, well, Nick, we really appreciate you joining us, and we're gonna let you go, and we're gonna take some calls on the Rangers here, and finish up the show. Before we know it, it'll be 9 o'clock. But I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope will you join us again maybe after the season gets going, and we'll talk a little bit about some different NHL topics.
Oh, I certainly would love it. I enjoyed myself tonight.
Great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nick.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Take care, and make sure you guys check him out, The Hockey Plumber. His link is it's right there on blueshirtbanner.com. I believe it is hockeyplumber.blogspot.com.
That's correct.
All right. There you go. Check them out. Thanks again, Nick. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Nick.
Bye-bye.
Jim, I have an announcement to make when it comes to Blue Shirt Banter.
Okay, hang on 1 second. That was Nick from The Hockey Plumber, and he knows his stuff. He had a lot to say about the Coyotes and the KHL. And he's a good guy. He's got a good site. He didn't get going all that long ago. Probably started up right around the same time as Blue Shirt Banter, but like I said, we'd gone back and forth with a couple of emails, and I liked his writing, so we wanted to have him on and see what he had to say, and that was good. We'll have him back in during the season at some point. Okay, Joe, before we get to a phone call, we have somebody who's been waiting patiently for a few minutes there. What is your announcement regarding Blue Shirt Banter?
I wanted to tell you all that today, within the past hour, we have acquired our 200,000th, you heard that right, 200,000th unique hit.
All right. That is big news.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
200,000. That is awesome. And 189,000 of those are me hitting the refresh button every day, all day long. No, that's not true. Let's thank the the listeners and the readers, you guys are fantastic. You do an awesome job, and we appreciate you guys coming in every day. And our site is actually has been growing all summer long at a time when the other hockey sites, most of them, when their business is down, their readership is down, and ours is growing every month, every week, every month. We're getting new members, and we really appreciate it. So now let's take another phone call. 631 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banter Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hey, I was wondering if you guys are scared of John Tavares and the Islanders this year.
If we're scared of John Tavares and the Islanders? Well, first of all, Joe, I think I have a feeling we've been infiltrated because
you've been infiltrated.
I think we've been infiltrated because why else would he use the term? I'm wondering if you guys are scared of John Tavares and the Islanders. So let me ask, who do we have on the line?
Pete.
Hello? Pete, are you an Islander fan?
No.
Oh, are you a Ranger fan?
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Columbus Blue Jackets fan?
Yes.
Okay. Am I scared of John Tavares and the Islanders?
Yeah.
No, I'm not scared of John Tavares and the Islanders. Because other than John Tavares, there are no New York Islanders. There's five backup goaltenders.
I don't even know if John Tavares is something to be afraid of for the Islanders. I mean, I will say this. They are doing some things right. They are obviously in a situation of rebuilding. They, signing Biron and Rolston obviously makes it seem that, DiPietro's job isn't guaranteed to him because he signed a 15-year contract. But aside from that, I don't think they're going to put out a team that's going to finish better than 13th this year. So I don't know what you see that makes them, scary per se, but I guess you have your Columbus Blue Jackets to fall back on.
I'm wondering if this is maybe Sal or Richard from the Howard Stern Show. I'm waiting for the Baba Booey here at some point or something. Pete, do you have anything to say? Or are you?
No.
Okay. All right. Goodbye, Pete. I mean, if you want to call up and bust our balls with a little Islander talk, I got no problem with that because I can give it and take it just as well. But, are you scared about John Tavares and the Islanders and then just sit there in dead silence? I mean, come on. He waited. And let me tell you something else, chat room. That guy was on hold for 15 minutes to say that. 15. He waited 15 minutes, and he gets his shot at radio history, and that's all he has to say. He's on one of the most popular hockey talk shows on the Internet, and that's all he says. Are you scared of John Tavares and the Islanders?
Well, if you have no life, then I guess I can see, what's 15 minutes out of an entire day?
A bonehead. What a bonehead. Anyway, the phone lines are open, as always, 646-478-4692. If you want to call up, talk about the Rangers, you want to talk about the Columbus Blue Jackets, anything you want to talk about, go ahead and give us a call. The chat room is blown up. Everybody seems to think Pete's just a 9-year-old kid or whatever. But,
he might be. Pimple cream Pete.
Gotta love it. Our guys in the chat room are just awesome. There's some great comments in there. Sometimes I wish I could just listen to the show and participate in the chat room. We got another caller on the line. All right. We got, is this Tim? No, this is Paulie, right?
This is Paulie Day, man.
Hey, Paulie, how are you?
How do you remember all these numbers, the faces and names? I mean, you look at a number and you're like, oh, 631. That has to be Tim from.
Well, hold on. I'll be honest with you, but Paulie's number I remember because Paulie's the only one that calls in from this area code, the area code that he's in, and Paulie's in a unique location, so I know the chances of somebody else calling in from where Paulie is rare. So as soon as I see that number, I recognize that's him. But I also have a list here that I keep with me during the show of a lot of our regular callers' phone numbers so that when they come up on the switchboard, I know who it is. I have Mouth, I have I have Anthony J. I have Mike from Howard Beach. I have Steve. But anyway, and I have Stan. But anyway, Paulie D., you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure to be on Blue Short Banter, man. What are you kidding me?
Yo, we have Paulie on the air, so you and I can go out and have a smoke. Paulie's just start talking.
Oh, man. That was low, buddy. All right, first of all.
You finished. You just went right into it. You are a walking stereotype, sir.
Anyway, what's on your mind, Paulie?
Listen, me and Mouth, I'm telling you, I got to run a close second of Mouth. I love Mouth. He's the funniest man on the radio here. But
well, first of all, I was the funniest man on the radio, you bastard.
Well, you are funny, but you're too kind of... See, if I... Oh, my God, this might get scary now. If I had a picture of you, Joe, because I never met you, I would think you were the guy sitting there with the suit on and the glasses and a little tie, probably a bow tie.
I don't wear glasses. I'm not little, but I do occasionally wear suits because I think I look good in them.
You seem very astute. You're very knowledgeable. I appreciate that, but you're kind of dry. So I hate to throw that out you.
Well, I don't know who this is, but cut this phone call immediately. This is obviously a crazy man.
I want to kill Paulie's in Riverhead Jail. Look at Mouth. He's killing me. I want to kill the Islander fan. That was like the dumbest question I think I've ever heard, and I've asked some dumb questions, but are we afraid of John Tavares? Are you afraid of Marian Gaborik, somebody who's established in the game? The kid ain't even played his first National Hockey League game. Why would we be afraid of
him? I don't think he's going to answer you because I don't think he's on the line, but I agree with you.
Well, he's not on the line, and I doubt he's listening anymore. Paulie, I'm telling you, it was Sal or Richard from the Howard Stern Show. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. Anyway, I did want to say you guys are doing a great job. Congratulations on the 200,000 hits. That's an amazing achievement, and you guys are just every day. It's fun to go look at blueshirtbanter.com and listen to you guys on the Internet. I did want to throw something out real quick at you. Next week, guys, if you would be so kind, I am doing the best I can in Tampa Bay to try and promote hockey. I do a lot of tournament hockey games. We actually do some video for them and all that kind of fun stuff, and we're really trying to help the game grow here in Tampa. And I know, Jim, you're out in the Lauderdale area, and I'm sure hockey's real dead there. But next weekend, actually, it's next Monday. If you guys would be so kind as to tune into the show, it's going to be 8 o'clock on the 17th. Take a listen, give a call in, give these guys a lot of support. So I actually have representatives from the girls' worlds team that played in Prague, a lot of tournament directors that get a lot of ball hockey teams going, and they do everything they can to support this game and move it forward. So I would ask for your support in that, guys.
Paulie,
picking up the charge.
Paulie, do me a favor. Email me at blueshirtbanter@gmail.com. Email me all the information and whatever links you want to send me,
okay.
And I'll put it up on the site, and then I'll send it to Donnie, who runs the Panthers site, and I'll send it to John, who runs the Lightning site, and I'll see if they'll put it up on theirs as well.
Fantastic. That'll be awesome.
Anything for you, man.
I appreciate it. Well, we're trying to do everything that we can to get more fan support in the game of hockey because, you know, there's still a lot of us out here that just absolutely love this game in every degree. I mean, there's nothing better than the NHL, but if you guys ever played hockey, I'm an X and O kind of guy, and I played a ton of hockey in my life, and it all started being a kid, you know, playing ball hockey and getting into rollerblades and then into the ice and then, you know, and just becoming a crazy fan. So I would appreciate the support on that, and I know they would. And you guys, next week I'll have some real cool videos up about the girls from the world, that women's hockey is growing tremendously, and it's a lot of fun, and some of these girls can keep up, man. Let me tell you, these girls went to Prague and won USA championship in Prague, so it was pretty fun.
Cool. Yeah, definitely email me all the stuff, and we'll put it up on the site. And like I said, I'll pass it along and try and get the other guys to put it up as well. I can't guarantee you that they will, but you never know.
No, that's awesome.
But And, hey, we love doing it for you, Paulie. You know that. Look, I mean, all those times you call me and say, hey, look, Jim, can you call my probation officer and tell him what I was doing last night? That I was listening to the
all
show.
Right, now you're
help
me out.
Can you pee in this cup for me, Joe? Joe, please, pee in this cup.
Nope.
You got mouth telling everybody I've served time in Riverhead Jail or I'm calling from Riverhead Jail. He's killing me.
Paulie,
anyway.
We always take care of our friends at Blue Shirt Banter.
I see that. I'm so glad I'm not an Islander fan now.
It's a hell of a lot better to be with us than against us, Paulie. That's for sure.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. That is no doubt. Somebody's asking. The age group is actually 18 and older, and there's actually, believe it or not, there's
Oh, man. You just told this group that there's going to be 18-year-old girls playing hockey somewhere?
Well,
I smell the first annual Blue Shirt Banter road trip coming up.
Well, we're at one of those, like, Korean church buses, and we'll just head down.
Oh, my God. You guys are brutal, man. I'll tell you what. These women hurt you, so you might want to be careful. They are some tough chicks, man. I'll tell you what. It's a lot of fun to watch. Believe me. It really
Mouth
is.
Will be driving, Mouth will be driving the pervert bus right down I-95, bringing it right into Tampa.
Oh, man. You guys are brutal. But the ages are 18 and older, and they actually have what's called a master's division, which is 35 and older. And these guys can all play hockey. I mean, these are tournaments where people are coming from all over the world. They have a Czechoslovakian team coming, a Greece team coming, teams from Britain. And, I mean, they got a lot of people coming. So, once again, I appreciate it and just wanted to let you know. And I figured the guy asking in the chat room, I'd tell him what was going on. Otherwise, I want to congratulate you guys on a fantastic program. I tune in every week just because it's so much fun, and it's nice to hear Ranger fans call in and talk, and there's no doubt about it, man. Ranger fans know hockey better than any other hockey fans in the world, except for maybe Detroit. They're pretty good, but I still think we beat them.
Yeah, I'd agree. We're definitely among the most knowledgeable hockey fans, there aren't too many places where I think they're talking about hockey every week for, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours like we are. But we love doing it. So glad you're enjoying the show.
Love it. Love it. And I love the site, man. And if anybody's in this room ain't been to the site, just click on Jim's blog page right there. And it's phenomenal. It's a lot of good stuff. You guys keep me up to date. Gives me my hockey fix, and it gives me some ideas to steal from my show, especially here in August. I'll let you guys go. I appreciate it. God bless.
Thanks, Paulie.
Right,
thanks, Paulie. Don't forget to email me that stuff.
I'll send it to you, my friend.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye. So Paulie's involved in a hockey tournament full of 18 and older women from Russia, the Czech Republic, and Greece. And who's better than Paulie D? I don't think anybody's better than Paulie D.
I don't either. No, but he did call me dry, so I don't really know what to take on that. I'm not dry right now. It's not like I jumped in the pool, but I don't think it's very flattering.
Oh, Paulie, we love Paulie. Paulie's a good guy. Thanks for calling in, as always, Paul. We got, Joe, we've got 40 minutes to go on our first two-hour extravaganza.
I like this two-hour thing because we have a lot of room here.
Well, it's a little more relaxed. I don't feel like we have to rush through everything because it gets to the point sometimes. An hour and a half, we get on the air, we BS for a few minutes, we take a couple of calls, and that's the other thing is that I don't like to rush the callers because we have so many great ones, and I feel like sometimes I really feel bad when I have to say, okay, we got to move on, we got to take some other calls. I like to let the guys talk as long as they want. So now with 2 hours here, we can give them a little more time to voice their opinion. And I think what we're talking about doing is we're going to do a show the night before the season starts, which is October 2nd, and I believe that is a Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll be able to stick with our Wednesday night schedule that week.
I think it might be October 1st. Don't we play Pittsburgh on the 2nd, and then we play Ottawa on the 3rd?
Opening night is October 2nd, so I want to do our pre preseason, our season preview will be October 1st, which I think is a Wednesday night. So, and we might do, I want to do a 3-hour show that night, I think. We'll get everybody involved and get the mouth on and get his thoughts on the upcoming season and get a whole discussion going. So I'm sure we can talk for 3 hours. Once we get close to the season, we'll have so much going on. We'll be so excited. We won't be able to control ourselves.
Yeah, so, the hours will be good.
So anyway, we also, last week we started getting into, we talked about that Larry Brooks article last week as well. That had a lot of Ranger fans fired up and pissed off, quite frankly. So we talked about that a little bit last week. In the corners of the chat room just said, any truth to the Islanders signing Manon Raume? If I had a prize to give him, I would give him a prize just for bringing up that name. Manon Raume. I love it. Phil Esposito signing the first female goaltender in the history of the NHL. He signed her and put her in the minor leagues. Manon Raume. Beautiful. And by the way, I see Scott's in the chat room, our winner of the tagline contest. Scott, I apologize. Your hat has not gone in the mail yet. It will this week. I promise. It is still sitting on my counter. It will go in the mail this week. I just didn't get a chance to get over to the post office. But I have not forgotten you. So anyway, we talked a little bit about this Larry Brooks article last week. He spent two paragraphs blowing sunshine up Glenn Sather's ass and then spent the last four paragraphs bashing him and saying what a horrible job he's done and how the Rangers are a patchwork quilt?
Patchquilt misfit team.
Right. So we had a couple of the callers get calling in and getting upset about it. So we started to cover some of that. And Joe and I were kind of looking at the Rangers salary cap situation, and we wanted to talk a little bit about it. Right now, if I'm not mistaken, Joe, if this information that I have is right, which, by the way, I took it from OutsideTheGarden.com. If you ever look on their site, they have a great salary cap status chart that you can look at, and it'll tell you how much everybody's making and how much it adds up to. And, Joe, I see their salary cap at right now at 50 – no, that's not right. At 49 – no, I'm sorry. It is 53,000 is what they have the Rangers' current salary cap figure at, and that's with
53 million.
That's with, but that's with Rhys Miller and Voros on the roster at $1 million each, and that's with Matt Gilroy on the roster at 1.75. I don't know. I don't see Voros, as I said on the article we put up yesterday. I don't see Voros making the roster. I think he starts the season in Hartford. Same thing with Rhys Miller, and I'm not so. I don't really think Matt Gilroy is going to be on the opening day roster. I don't think. I think he'll start in Hartford. So I think the Rangers have a little more cap room than what people are saying, at least at the moment.
Just to throw something in on Gilroy, I read an article the other day from Steve Zippe that said that Gilroy's D position would be his to lose. So I'm pretty sure Tortorella is going in expecting him to make the team. I'm pretty sure he'll start in the NHL. You and I differ on this. Remember, everyone, and I had been preaching it for a long time, that you know he has a one-way contract, so he has to pass through waivers. That is incorrect. Because he is 25 years old without any NHL experience, he foregoes the contract status and he does not have to pass through waivers, so he can pass up and down without other teams getting a look at him. But I think he'll start. I agree with you. Rhys Miller and Voros will not be on the team, or at least you'd have to assume not. But if you look at that Outside the Garden salary thing and you take away their contracts and you put Dubinsky in at $2 million, it looks like the Rangers will have about three and a little bit of change to play with, come season opening. So, you know, it's nice to have that little bit of room. Like we said, you know, they have a couple of RFAs next year in Stoll and Girardi. But, it is nice to have that room. And it's a lot different than we've been accustomed to, you know, post-lockout.
Do you realize that if when the Rangers step on the ice in Pittsburgh on October 2nd, if Matt Gilroy is in the starting lineup, well, that's if he is one of the defensemen on the roster that night, he would be the Rangers' third highest paid defenseman? not having played a game in the NHL.
Stahl is the Rangers' lowest paid defenseman, and he's by far the best.
Right. But that's extremely strange. He'll be their third highest paid defenseman without a minute of ice time in the NHL. If he makes the roster, unless the Rangers, unless something changes and the Rangers get another defenseman in here who happens to be making more than Gilroy. As it stands right now, if he's on the opening night roster, he's their third highest paid defenseman. Sauer, he's in the $800,000 range, as is Stahl. And then
Girardi's only at like 1.5 or something like that.
And also, I think, and maybe Mouth might be able to confirm this for us since he's in the chat room. I believe that Jess from the Prospect Park said on Mouth's radio show the other night that I think it's if he's on the NHL roster on opening night, he gets a $300,000 signing bonus that counts towards the cap. I believe it was Sauer. Maybe, I'm pretty sure it was Sauer. And maybe Mouth can confirm that for us. He's in the chat room. I'm still waiting for him to call in. I'm surprised he hasn't called in yet.
He's waiting.
Unless he brought laryngitis back from that baseball trip he went on.
Yeah, he might have.
So, it looks like they're waiting for me to say Benoit Allaire again in the chat room. I don't know why. it looks like, $212,000 bonus is what In the Corners is saying. I guess that is for Michael Sauer. So, but the Rangers do have a little bit of cap room to play with. I think, like I said, Rissmiller and Voros, I see them starting in Hartford. I don't know. People all of a sudden are turned around on Aaron Voros. They were ready to run him out of town in April, and now there seems to be some thinking that he'll be on the roster, and Tortorella maybe likes him, and he's got a little experience playing with Gaborik. But I don't know. As I've said all along, the guy's just a block of cement on skates. I don't see... other than those five goals he scored in the first 3 weeks of the season, I just don't see a whole lot of talent there.
I have to agree with you on that. I mean, I will be completely honest with you. You know, when he started off the season so hot, I was thinking to myself, "Oh my God, this is amazing. We found the talent. You know, how amazing is this? We have him for 3 years, $1 million a year. This is great." And then I remember it ever so like it was yesterday. Zippy wrote in one of his articles, Voros has had an unbelievable start to the year, but usually has horrible second half to the year. So, you know, be wary. And right after he wrote that, Voros did not get a point the rest of the season. So, you know, Voros is good for a couple of things. He's a good, you know, he's not even really a good fighter. He's a pretty good hitter. You know, he's a good fourth liner. But now that they have Brashear, I see no need for Voros anymore.
He's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, and I got to be completely honest with you. You know, we've talked about this before, at least you and I have, Jim, that Brashear is an upgrade over Coltonor, and Coltonor was an upgrade over Voros. So,
absolutely.
You know, I don't know. And Paulie D, no, I don't want Bertuzzi, like I told you. I don't even know if wheelchairs have skates, but I don't think he could get onto the ice.
He's still waving the Bertuzzi banner. Well, at least he sticks to his guns. Joe, let's take a phone call. 718 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
It's Stan.
Hey, Stan. How are you?
Stan.
How you doing?
Good.
How are you,
Stan?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. What's going on tonight?
Yeah, I heard, was it Jester Rubenstein from the Prospect Park last week on Mouth?
Yeah.
And I was a little surprised because he was down on Kreider.
Yeah, Jess, I've had many conversations with Jess about this, so I can probably field this question. Jess is down on Kreider because he thinks that, Kreider is too untested to be a first-round draft pick. And let's just go over this very quickly. Chris Kreider is a prep school player who will be going to BC next year. Or this year, I don't know, one or the other. He's going to BC. He's only played at a prep school level, which is, if you read my story yesterday about the USA team beating the Russian team in the World Junior Camp evaluation, you know, that this is where we'll really get to see Kreider. And obviously here in training camp, we'll get to see, get a good look at him. He is, you know, as Jim said, a, you know, some teams term him as a 4-year player. The Rangers think he's only a 2-year player. I think that Chris Kreider is going to be a great pick in the coming years. And in the corners of saying he's an 11th grader, so he has, you know, he has one more year left in high school. I think that, you know, once he gets onto the NCAA level, once he plays in college, you'll get a better look at him. But Jess is down on Kreider, not because he's, you know, anything. It's because he's a project. And obviously they need to work with him, and they're going to have to, you know, check his development. But look to see at this World Junior evaluation, this evaluation camp, look to see what he does, because the USA team is high on him. They're high on Derek Stepan, and they are very high on Ryan Bourque. So, you know, this year's draft and last year's draft are all coming into play.
Well, the thing that I've always been, like, interested in prospects for years, and I haven't seen the guy, so I can't talk about him, you know, firsthand experience. But you talk about a guy who's 6'2", I think he's 205 now, which means he's going to fill out about 220, 225. At the NHL draft, they said he graded out on speed at 9.81, which was even far in excess of anybody else. So you got a guy who's going to be big, might be the fastest player in the whole world. So worst-case scenario, if he's not a scorer, he's still going to be a usable player. If he has hands, he's going to be a star.
Yeah, and that the thing that you're talking about, Stan, and just pardon me one second to explain it, every year TSN, which is basically the ESPN, it's the Canadian ESPN, before the hockey draft does it's training camp to give everyone the team's numbers. And what they do is they grade a prospect from 1 to 10. And it wasn't speed that Kreider, it was skating. And he beat out every single player by a mile. They said he's the best skater in the draft. And a lot of people are saying if you put him in the NHL right now, he'd be faster than most guys. So you're going to get a pretty good player.
Yeah, I mean, you get a much better idea after his first year at the BC when he plays against stiffer competition. So we'll see by the end of next year, I guess. We'll have a better idea.
Yeah, the theory on, I think I said this today on the board, the theory on Kreider, although the Rangers don't seem to think so, but the prevailing theory on Chris Kreider is that he's a 4-year player, meaning that, you know, it could be 4 years before he's playing for the Rangers, whereas some of the other guys they drafted, like Ethan Werrick and Ryan Bourque, may only be 2-year players. But you know, we won't know for 5 years if this draft was good or not. I think this draft will turn out to be a pretty good one for the Rangers. I think they got some good value for their picks, and these are guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing play someday. Especially, you know, since I was there at the draft, it makes it even more special. I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing them on Broadway someday.
Yeah, and they say, a lot of scouts say that the Rangers got 3 guys who were first-round draft picks. They said that Werrick, is that how you say his name, Ethan Werrick, could have been a first-round draft pick, and they say that Mark was doing a first-round draft pick. So I think they made out well.
Well, we'll know, like you said, 4 or 5 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stan, anything else on your mind tonight?
That's all for now.
All right. Well, thank
Thanks,
you, sir.
Stan.
Okay,
take a couple
other
phone calls. All right, we'll talk to you next week, hopefully. All right, so that was Stan. Stan's a great caller. He calls almost every week.
Stan's Bayside.
Now, Joe, you know the last 2 weeks we've had a very important member of our show missing. He's been traveling. He was on a baseball trip traveling the country. We missed him the last 2 weeks. He hasn't called in. He wasn't in the chat room. Joe, and you know better than anybody, for 2 weeks I've been shaking like Kevin Stevens in a hotel room with a handful of stolen meal money. But I am proud to say that he is back, and he is on the line. Here he is, the one and only, Mouth. How are you tonight?
Hello, guys, and I am glad to be back on your prestigious show. I fell asleep for the first half hour or so, but I have awoken from my crypt, and I'm ready to talk to Ranger
from his deep slumber.
From my deep slumber. And let me say something. I want to address the comment by Paulie D as he made a summation of what he thought that Joe Fortunato looked like. Okay, go ahead.
You're wearing a dress?
I am wearing a dress at the moment. It's a nice, colorful number. What am I saying? I'd like to address.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have had the pleasure of meeting one Joe Fortunato. Let me tell you something. The guy runs with beautiful twin ladies. That's right. He's got his girlfriend is one member of a twin team. And I'm going to tell you, the guy is a handsome fella. I don't swing that way, but let's say it. The guy's a good-looking chap.
Doesn't swing that way normally, but he's not telling you what happened in the bathroom at that club. He just wooed me right off my feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's not go there. This is a family program, but there was some tapping of the foot underneath the stall.
Joe's like Arthur Fonzarelli dating the Tuscadero twins.
Pinky and Leather. That's right. Susie Quattro played the young Leather Tuscadero. She had a hit in the late 70s. Jesus, quit now going into musical territory. Wait, I forgot. This isn't my show. Go ahead.
I should just tell a story about Mouth that I don't know, but it's just something that lives with me. When we watched Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals at a club in the city for an NHL tweet-up. And Mouth was there, and me and Mouth were talking, and my girlfriend and her twin sister came. And they're not identical twins, they're fraternal, but they look like they're identical twins. And Mouth turns to my girlfriend, and he goes, "Hey, are you two sisters?" And my girlfriend was like, "Yeah, we're twins." And he goes, "Oh, no way, yeah, like, I'm a big idiot." And it was very funny.
It's true. I relayed that story to my friends, and they also have a hearty laugh at my expense. But, hey, as long as I make people laugh, I don't care. I feel like a real dunce after I asked that question. Oh, geez.
He asked the Olsen twins the same question.
Yeah, all the twins. I just thought, you know what it is? When you're married, you just don't look at other women.
Yeah, that's exactly what it
I'm
is.
I'm completely lying here. I'm completely lying here, but still. I wanted to possibly talk about that Islander fan that called. We like the prank. See, I would love prank phone calls, but you got to make them inventive. You got to make them ingenuity to the program.
Absolutely. I mean, all he said, he waited 15 minutes to ask me if I was scared of John Tavares. I mean, you got to. Obviously, he doesn't listen to Howard Stern, or else he'd have a little ability at making a prank phone call. He's never heard the Jerky Boys or the Tube Bar or anything like that. He's,
right? Yeah.
Somebody send him a CD of the Tube Bar, and then he'll know how to make a prank phone call.
Yeah, really. I mean, the only guy I'm scared on the Islanders is that Charles Wang's son. He scares me, that little Wang scares the heck out of me, fellas. He's bouncing around there. He's all hopped up on goofballs. I don't know what he's doing at the draft. I mean, what a circus.
He's like Miyagi Giuliani from the
Yankees. Yeah, exactly.
Dario Rigato, Mr. Roboto.
No, Mr. Roboto. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Actually, there is one Islander I'm afraid of, and that's Brian Trottier.
Well, I'd be afraid of him. I am afraid of him because I think he's going to seek out his revenge on me. And maybe, I don't know what he's going to do.
I'd just be afraid if he was over the house, he'd rob me blind. There'd be nothing left. I'd have to hide the silverware with
Trottier.
I'm
telling you, man. When he gets invited to those dinners, you got to watch out. He doesn't walk out with the silverware, like you said.
He's
clink, clink, clinkle.
Stuff in his pockets with rolls.
That's right, The little wanger.
The fat little wang, as I called him. On the Mouth videos, in case you haven't seen them on RangerCrisis.com, you got to make sure you check them out. But my favorite line in any Mouth video that I've seen so far is, there he is, Brian Trottier with the from former coach of the New York Rangers eating nachos. Who paid for those nachos? Not Brian, that's for sure.
Well, you know, listen, the guys hit financial problems, and, you know, we can't, you know, I made it was a one-off. I won't make fun of him again. But he is very poor, and he's in bankruptcy court as we speak.
The Islanders announced they wanted to retire his jersey, and he said, I'll show up if you pay me.
Oh, I'm sure he gets something. There's no way he's showing up for free. But I wanted to just touch base. I was in Chicago and Detroit, and I'm telling you, Chicago fans are crazy over there. I found them in July. They're still hopped up about the Hawks and Detroit
guys.
Yeah,
Boy, did you pick the wrong week to be in Chicago. If you were there this week after the Kane thing happened, oh, you would have had a field day.
Well,
you'd have been getting in cabs in a Kane jersey if I know you.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I was in Harry Carey's, and they had a Patrick Kane jersey there. And I filmed the jersey saying, oh, there you see Patrick Kane, one of the up-and-coming. And then what happened is that now I shot some video. I put Patrick Kane felony worn jersey right there on underneath it with the caption. So, you never know. Always be filming. ABF. That's what I was taught in the young days when I worked under Buzz Capper and I'm thinking of some other ridiculous name, but Biff Pokerova. What?
Cecil B. DeMille.
Cecil B. DeMille. But
Joe, couldn't you picture Mouth and a buddy of his getting in a cab in Chicago in a Patrick Kane jersey and saying, take me to the club fast?
I can see him getting in a cab and going, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm Ranger Crisis.
That's
okay?
Right. Then I throw two dimes right in the guy's fat face.
Then I punch him from the back.
Now, I am not a fighter. I'm a lover, as everyone knows. And, you know, Frozy's over here saying Biff Pokerova could hit. I mean, really, seriously, is this what the comments have come down and we're talking 1970s baseball?
Must be August.
I got to tell you.
Pokerova.
But I got to congratulate you guys. 200,000 hits. I mean, it's going to be like 2050 before I reach that thing. Nobody comes to my side. Why doesn't anybody come?
Oh, come on. You're getting plenty of this. Come on. You got Katsopoulos tomorrow night.
You have Adam Graves. You have friggin' Carpinello. You have everyone.
Well, let me tell you. I'm going to announce it here, guys. What I have lined up, again, it's unofficial. Unofficial. But I'm going to break it on Blue Shirt Panther right now. I am going to have, in 2 weeks, Tom Laidlaw. After that, hold on to your hats, Rick Middleton. I'm not joking. This is completely serious. There is no hosing going on. After Rick Middleton, Ulf Nielsen from Sweden.
No way.
You know, I have to be honest with you. I was thinking of reaching out to Ulf Nielsen because I got him on the Facebook and I've actually sent him a few messages back and forth. But I this is going to sound completely ignorant, but I don't remember how good his English was.
It wasn't that good, but he's talking to me. You know what I could get away with talking to him? I put him on and just be going, how do those meatballs over in Sweden? I love those Swedish meatballs.
We should reach out for Esa Tiikkanen. The man doesn't speak a lick of any language.
He's indecipherable in every language. You're right, Joe.
Wolfie, can you help me put together this furniture I bought from you people?
he did not speak any English. Remember years ago, it was back in 97, when Esa Tiikkanen beat the Panthers in overtime in the playoffs when he broke the camera in the net on his shot?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Does anyone remember that? Go back and listen to his after-the-game interview, and someone, a reporter will say to him, you know, Esa Tiikkanen, how do you feel? And all he hears, very good job,
he's like, I hit the puck, I got up at the puck, and then that's it.
And
so you hear
the woman is so befuddled because she has no idea what this man is talking about, and it is one of the funniest things you will see in
the same thing that goes on in my house when I speak to my wife. She's like, what the hell did this guy just say? It's ridiculous. But, you know, so right now, right now it's looking pretty good. You know, these hockey players are great when you talk to them. They're so nice. I mean, it's like no other pro sports. These hockey players are fantastic, guys. To bring the show completely down and serious, they all really are.
Great,
really
thanks.
Nice. Yeah, definitely.
No,
and I love the coyote talk. Let's talk more about the coyotes.
Come on. Leave the coyotes alone. They got problems.
I heard they got good pizza, and that's what counts.
I forgot what I was going to say. Hockey players are definitely more approachable than other athletes, at least in my experience.
Oh, for sure. Come on. I mean,
football players, not too bad, most of them. Baseball players, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, I want this Francis Bouillon. That's the guy I want. I want him. I think he's better than Mara. Why did all the Ranger fans fall in love with Paul Mara?
They didn't fall in love with him until he wasn't here anymore. All of a sudden, it was in April, it was, well, Paul Mara's not going to be back, and we don't need him. We'll be fine without him. And then all of a sudden, Paul Mara was gone. And what the hell are they doing getting rid of Paul Mara?
I've always liked Paul Mara. I mean, I thought that he was a great teammate and everything else. But Ranger fans are so, finicky. They're like, oh, God, we need scores, we need scores, we need scores. And we trade Gomez and get Gabrick, and now it's, who the hell is going to feed him the puck? Let me tie the noose even more now. So I really don't listen to the hype in that respect.
Well,
there's
different degrees of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I liked him well enough, but, we're not talking about Kevin Lowe here in his prime or Jeff Bookaboom or something. It was Paul Mara. Best known for a mountain man beard. I mean, better than anything else. I mean, he's a nice defenseman, but it's time to move on.
First of all, you have to remember why he was brought in here. We brought him in here to help with the offense. Mission unaccomplished. Out the door you go. They gave him all that money. Boston, I don't know. Was it Montreal or Boston he went to?
Montreal.
Yeah,
Boris went to Boston.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Give me a break. And, there's different levels of Ranger fans, and I don't want to sound like we're a bunch of elitists, the guys in the chat room, the guys on the line. But some are more informed than the other, and some really think with their heart and haven't been through the trials that we have, and we've seen these guys come and go. So I just think I like this Bouillon kid. He's short, but the guy hits, and you want to talk about, I think this guy's a better team player than Mara. I'm calling it right here.
Well, there you have it. Well, he'll be a Ranger. Hey, Tom, you're going to have Tom Laidlaw on. He's an agent now, isn't he, a player agent?
Yeah, I really haven't done research. I do elaborate research on these guests, basically consisting of Wikipedia and BangBus.com. But,
If you're under the age of 18 and listening to this, do not go to any of these websites. We will be wrapped up in so much legal tape.
Oh, extensive research.
I absolve Blue Shirt Banter. Send all your legalities and all your lawsuits to RangerCrisis.com. We'll take care of it. Me and Vinny Vasilino and I forgot his name. Charlie Ospis Brumanti, all those guys over there, we'll take care of it. But anyway.
Extensive research on his guests, like when he had Adam Cohen and when he had Russ Cohen and Adam Rader on, and he said something to them. I don't even remember what it was, and Russ said, "Oh no, that's not possible, Mal, since we're both Jewish."
Well, that's true.
I don't remember what you said to them, but it was just.
I'm just not good with the details. Twins, religious orientation, whatever you. I just don't know. It's all black and white to me. RangerCrisis.com, that's right. Chris Gostopoulos tomorrow. Kotze loves the phone calls. I've seen him take phone calls live on XM, and his face lights up. And that's not because he's drunk. It's that he's actually lit up from the call. Because the guy likes his beer like I do. But that's, they're a great show, guys, and thanks for letting me just chat and ramble on.
Anytime.
Felt like I had a couple weeks to make up for.
Oh, we love you. We're glad you're back, and we look forward to your show tomorrow night. I'll try and call in when you have Kotze on. And what time is he coming on? Is he going to be on the whole show?
Yeah, he's going to be on the whole show. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're just going to have the phone lines on the whole time. I'm not going to sit there with an in-depth interview like I usually do. Because, again, Kotze loved the fans, and he really wants the opportunity to talk to as many people as possible.
Cool. All right. I will check in with you tomorrow night, and thank you for checking in with us, as always. We love you. The show would not be the same without you.
Thank you so much, Mouse.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. Have a good night.
Anytime. You too, buddy. Well, we're glad he's back. The show just seems to a little more lively when he's on the phone with us, that's for sure. Joe, we got another phone call. 631 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Jim. This is Nick from the Rangers Tribune.
Oh, hey, Nick. How you doing?
How are you? I just wanted to get your opinion on the whole Dubinsky situation, how he hasn't been re-signed yet. Rumor from the Montreal media today that he's on the outs. I just don't know what to think anymore. What do you guys think? I want to know your opinion.
Brandon Dubinsky. Wait, Joe, hold on. Wait for it.
Come on, watch him to play. There we go. That is the panic button. We played it at the beginning of the show, and we talked about it a little bit. You know, Nick, I got to be completely honest with you. For the Montreal website or, you know, source to be telling you that he's on the outs is, you know, I have to think that it's, you know, a little bit premature to be making that call. I will agree with you that obviously something is, you know, up. Maybe there's a speed bump. Maybe, you know, he might be being dangled for a trade. I agree with Jim. He will be back in Ranger blue. And, you know, we're giving it 2 weeks before we actually hit the panic button, you know, for Blue Shirt Banter. But for right now, I don't think it's a problem. I think that they're just going through the motions. And, you know, is it a bit of a mystery why he isn't signed? Yes, he isn't. It is a bit of a mystery. But Glenn Sather is a bit of a mystery himself. So, I mean, Jim, I don't know, whatever you'll have to say, but I'd have to say that, you know, I wouldn't worry about it right now. You know, everybody who I talk to says that he's going to be re-signed with the Rangers. And, you know, inner circles are saying that talks are heating up. So I guess we'll see. Jim, what do you think?
I'm not worried about it. Not yet. I think Dubinsky will be signed. I think all will be well. I think at some point we will just get on the air and have one big, deep cleansing breath. We'll all practice our Lamaze. Dubinsky will be back. Everything will be fine. And it'll be taken care of. I'm not worried about it. No, honestly. You know, we still got a month to go. I think as we said before, I think the Rangers were kind of waiting to see how the Sheridan thing played out. And now that it has, you know, I don't think they're looking to trade him. I really don't. I think he's one of the cornerstones of the franchise. I think Tortorella likes him. And I think it would be, unless you are talking about bringing back one of the marquee players in the NHL, I really think it would be a mistake to get rid of him. I said yesterday on the site, I think he's got the ability to score 30 goals. I don't know if you read my story on Dubinsky and the questions surrounding him. I honestly believe he has the ability to be a 30-goal scorer, and I do think that the Rangers will be okay if he's their number one center.
Yeah, he definitely could be, but as of right now. He did it with Jágr.
I think it would be a mistake to strangulate their cap space any further by making any more trades for players that, you know, like Brad Richards or Patrick Marleau.
Yeah, that's the way.
Stay the course. I say just stay the course. Go into the season. Get Dubinsky signed. Get the monkey off the back so that the Ranger fans can breathe. Stop worrying about it and go into the season with what you have. And if it's not enough, then you'll be able to make a deal after the season starts. Once teams start to fall by the wayside, there'll be trades to be had, and then you can make a deal. You've got all these defensemen that you can package up and make a deal for. I'm not worried about it. Not
yeah,
yet.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Drury, I don't see as our first line center. Nisimov's too young, so Dubinsky's our really only option right now. And I think he could definitely go with Gabrick, just get him the puck, you know?
Right. And Dubinsky has shown that he I think he's shown maybe not so much since he's been with the Rangers, because he's been kind of buried in the third line with some not so great scoring, but mm-hmm. he has shown that ability in the past to be a playmaker. So why not give him the opportunity? And somebody suggested today on the website, Joe, that he did play with Yager a little bit, I believe, in Yager's last year with the Rangers. So why not? What's the worst that could happen?
And the up-tempo system should do nothing but help him. I mean, he's not defense first, but Tom Rennie really strangulated the offense. And for Brandon Dubinsky to walk into Tortorella's system, I mean, Dubinsky looked great at the end of the year, and he looked great in the playoffs. And that was when Tortorella took over. So I'm expecting good things from him. And let's be honest, he was snake bit all year. You know, he could have had 50 goals with all the chances he missed towards the middle of the year. So, I mean, I guess I'm looking for big things out of him. I know Jim's looking for big things out of him. But to trade him, there would be riots outside of Glenn Sather's office.
Yeah, I agree. Yep. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Nick. Anytime, I hope you call again.
Yeah.
And thanks for being a part of the site.
All right, thank you.
Take care. All right, that was Nick from Rangers Tribune, one of the other Ranger blogs that are out there. You can find Nick's site. The link is on our site if you want to check them out.
It's on our blog roll.
It's on our blog roll. So, and look at that, Joe. We've made it through the two-hour show, the first two-hour show in Blue Shirt Banter radio history. The first of probably many. We are currently scheduled to go 2 hours every week now until through the end of September. Like I said,
and
we're going to have
well enough.
I'll let you know tomorrow when I listen back to the show. No, I think it went just fine. I think we can handle it. But next week, again, we're going to have Stephanie Bagley on from ESPN Magazine, hoping to have Andrew Gross on from Ranger Rants. I'm not sure when. We're still trying to coordinate that. He is headed out of the country on vacation, but he has promised he will come on the show. So could be sometime in September, maybe early September after he gets back, or maybe like right after the season starts. But he will be coming on the show at some point. And we are also going to have Rick Carpinello on the show probably late September again, or early in the season for October. We got some guests coming in, and we'll be doing some different stuff for you. But again, next week we'll have Stephanie Bagley on from ESPN Magazine, and
hopefully Andrew Gross.
And hopefully Andrew Gross in the coming weeks. I don't want to forget to say hello to our good buddy Poe678, who was serving over in Iraq, keeping us all safe, and hope you're doing all right and come home soon. Want to say hello to him. Don't forget to check out a couple of our buddies. Don't forget Dave at Blue Seat Blogs. Dave hasn't been with us the last couple of weeks. He's been real busy at work, and now he is traveling. I think he said he's in L.A., so hopefully he'll be joining us maybe, I don't know, next week or the week after, coming on, say hi again. We miss Dave. He's a big part of the show. So don't forget Dave at Blue Seat Blogs, and, of course, Lori at Beyond the Blue Shirts, and Mouth at Ranger Crisis. Tomorrow night, Ranger Crisis Radio, I think he comes on the air at 9 o'clock, and he's going to have former Ranger Chris Kotsopoulos on. And so make sure you call in. Kotsi will take your calls. You can talk Ranger hockey. And let's see, who else we got out there?
We touched on it a little bit before, but thank all of you who, you know, you come in every day, you listen to our shows, you know, you come on the site, you comment. If you're listening and you only read the site, please join up, come in. We're a very open environment. And, you know, tomorrow Jim and I will look at today's numbers on the site and on the radio, and we'll get giddy. So tell your friends, keep coming. It's, you know, 200,000 hits in a four-month span is a little overwhelming, but you guys have really helped us out. You know, we're putting your fan posts on the main page. You guys are just as much a part of the site as we are, and you know, I know Jim agrees with me. Just a full, heart-filled thank you for everything you've done, you know, for just keep coming back and everything you do, because the site really wouldn't be the same without you guys, and you guys are doing an unbelievable job.
Well said, Joseph. I couldn't say it any better. And like we've said before, if not for you guys, it's just me and Joe and Ryan and Rob talking about the Rangers. And by now that would have gotten boring if it was just the four of us. So, yes, we do appreciate you guys coming in and posting comments and writing stories and bringing news stories to the site. And we appreciate you guys coming back every Wednesday night and listening and having such a great time in the chat. And I'll be honest, this is – you guys enjoy the show, and I'm telling you from my perspective, I enjoy it 10 times more than you do. I have so much fun doing this. This was kind of – when I was growing up, I always wanted to be on the radio. I figured I was too fat to be a hockey player. I couldn't skate backwards, so it was never going to happen. Despite a very gifted pair of hands, I wasn't going to be able to do it. So I really appreciate you guys are helping us out. And, Joseph, we've run out of time. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye, guys.
That's it. We're off the air.
Okay, that went well.
Yeah, it did. All right, I'm going to hang up.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.